Well, if you got a Bible, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're wrapping up our series entitled Standing Firm, where we've been walking through 1 Thessalonians, looking at Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, these new Christians living in a pretty pagan world, right, looking to navigate how to walk with Jesus in the midst of the struggle. We've talked about how this letter that Paul shares was an encouragement to them, an encouragement for them to continue to move forward, an encouragement to them, right, to understand that, man, they were doing a great job and just to keep on keeping on the faith. Last week we looked at word that spoke to the coming of the Lord in verses 13 through 17. We talked about how Paul really cleared that up best way he could. The churches that were there cleared up what the last days were going to look like, what the coming of the Lord was going to look like. And then this week, we're really going to focus on really his final instructions that he gives to the church there in Thessalonica, the final words, if you will, that he gives to them in verses 12 through 24. We see in context here that Paul really is looking to encourage, continue to encourage, but also to share with the church here, right, this call to continue living life for him in light of the Lord's return. See, what was happening was a lot of Christians that were there in Thessalonica, they were believing that, man, God could come at any moment. And some of them, man, believed that so literally that they were literally selling, you know, their possessions and things and literally just sitting up and waiting for Jesus to come back. And Paul, what he's trying to tell him is, hey, yeah, God could come at any moment, but hey, you still got to live life. You still got to, you know, be folks, man, that are on mission for the Lord. You still got to be folks that, man, look to grow in your walk with God. You still got to live. Still got to live. Some of them had fallen victim to this thought of, hey, man, since Jesus is coming back, I'm not going to do anything bad. Let me just, man, coast to the end. And what Paul says, no. There's still work to do, man. There's still a life to live. And so let me give you instructions on how to live that life. And so verse 12 is where we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. We'll read through verses 24 here. Like I said, really Paul's final instructions to the church ought to be applicable to us in our life as well. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says this: we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast in what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do. Why don't we pray one more time together? Lord God, we do ask that you'd speak to us in this short time we have in your word here. God, I pray that we take heed of these final instructions, Lord. I pray for those that may be coasting, Lord. I pray that you'd encourage them to continue living well, Lord. I pray, God, that because of your imminent return, Lord, that we'd be motivated to follow these final instructions that you gave us, that you've given us. Well, God, continue to have your way, and we'll give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've entitled the message today simply this: hey, final instructions. Final instructions. Hey, how are we to live in light of Jesus is coming back, or his coming return? Because the truth is, he is coming. It's imminent that he's coming back. But until then, how are we to live in light of his return? What instructions does Paul give us here, right, to take and apply to our life that we see here in the text? Hey, the first instruction is this, and I'm going to move through this fairly quick, man, because, you know, we only got a little time. Now, if I get worked up, hey, don't mind me, you know, but I'm going to try and move through this fairly quick, what we see here in the text. First instruction that he gives us is this. We have to be folks in these days that take the community of faith seriously. We've got to be folks in these times, man, that look to take the community of faith seriously. What do I mean by that? Hey, I'm talking about the family of God. Hey, take, man, the fellowship, right, of the saints, the family of God, the people of God. We've got to take, man, them seriously and take what we call community seriously. Paul here, he starts out by sharing, right, some imperatives or sharing some exhortations to the Thessalonian church pertaining to how they ought to treat those within the body. He says to respect those that labor among you and esteem them. He says, man, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Right, all of these are commands that he shares with, man, the church at Thessalonica, encouraging them, hey, man, take this thing seriously. Like I've said before, we're not just a sea of faces that come and, man, just hang out on a Sunday morning. Bible says because, man, we're saved, we are a family. We're family. And the call for us, man, is to take, man, the call to walk as a family seriously. Especially now more than ever. Man, we ought to take it seriously. What does that look like? How are we to do that? Well, Paul highlights it first. He says, firstly here, hey, we got to be folks that value the leaders, man, over the family. He says this, hey, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, man, and to esteem them very highly in love. What Paul was doing here was, hey, making sure to remind the Thessalonian church, hey, man, those that the Lord has set over you, man, hey, man, choose to love them, respect them, care for them. Hey, value them. Value them. You know, I just got to say it. I just taking myself aside, man. Hey, the staff that we've got here, man, at Tylertown, man, they are grade A. Thankful for them and all that they do for, man, the work of the body here. At Tylertown, man. Hey, I'm so thankful for them. And so the call for us at church, man, is to value them by praying over them, encouraging them. I think of, man, Miss Erica. I'm so thankful for Miss Erica, man, running kids over there, man. So thankful for her. Hey, you know one way you can value her? Tell her thank you. Hey, thanks for watching my kids. Appreciate you. Give her a high five. I'm thankful for Brother Ryan, man, who leads worship and does students on Wednesday night, man. You know how you can value him? Hey, give him a high five. Join the worship team. Oh, hey, join the worship team if you can sing or play an instrument. Hey, I'm thankful for all the leaders, man, and those that are here, man, at Tylertown as a whole. And so the call for us, man, is to choose to value them, show love to them, encourage them, pray for them. Hey, by the way, this doesn't mean that you have to agree with 100% of every single thing that we do. There may be some things that you may not agree with. Well, how do you value, right, folks in leadership they may not agree with? Hey, instead of spewing out stuff all around, hey, just ask us. Come and have a conversation with us. We may say, hey, God bless you. This is where God's leading us. But hey, come and have a respectful conversation with us. Man, choose to value the leaders. Secondly, moving here quickly, right? What does it look like to take the community of faith seriously? Hey, value, not just value the leaders, value the members. Value the members. That's what he says in that second group of exhortation, exhorts there. He says, hey, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help out the weak, be patient with them all. Paul challenges the church here in Thessalonica, hey, it's not just the job of the leaders, man, to minister to those within the context of the family. It's the job of those that are in the family to minister to one another. Hey, that's how we show that we value, right, those that are within the household of faith, man. It's to choose to minister to them. Serve them, love them. Obviously, hey, serve in the various ministries we've got here in the life of the church, but just personally, one-on-one. Folks that you're in family group with, Hey, you serve them, encourage them. You know one that's having a tough time? Hey, serve them, encourage them, pray over them, do life with them. We've got to choose to value the members. It's the jobs of the saints to show love and respect to one another. Man, it's the job of the saints to challenge and encourage one another in love. We value the members right within the body by, man, hey, choosing to walk in peace with everyone. Right? Hey, you show a lot of value in choosing to walk in peace with each other. Not letting, hey, just simple nonsense, man, hey, divide the community that's going on around you. Hey, we value the members by choosing to encourage those that are struggling. Paul uses strong language here, admonishing the idle, speaking to, hey, man, hey, those that are struggling with their faith, right? Idleness could speak to laziness, but also could speak to, man, folks that just aren't doing what they're doing. Hey, instead of just idly standing by, man, hey, strongly encourage them to get back. Get back walking with God. It's your job, man. Don't wait for Pastor Irv to find them and tell them, hey, in love, as you cultivate a relationship with them, hey, choose to, man, encourage them to get back right. Encourage the weak, as it talks about there, and help the weak, man, be patient with everybody. The call is to value the members. Man, take, man, the community of God seriously. Listen, are you walking in community today? Or is your Christian life one that's just about coming to church on a Sunday, hanging out, being in a sea of faces, and then going back home to isolation? You can't take, man, the community of God seriously if you're not in community. Man, choose to jump in community today. Hey, got to be folks that value the leaders and value the members. Quickly, secondly, look what we see here. The second instruction that Paul gives us says here in the Word, not just to take our community God seriously, but to take our communion with God seriously. Verses 16 through 18 speak to that. Paul shares, right? He gives exhortation to the church there on how they ought to live outwardly. Then verses 16 through 18, he shifts it back inward. Hey, don't just take, man, hey, walking in community with others seriously. Take your personal walk with God seriously, your communion with Him. Hey, your walk with Him seriously. That's important. And he goes on to share, man, how we do that. Look what he says. Rejoice always. Right, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We've got to choose to take our communion with God seriously. Are you walking with Him? Hey, this call, man, to live well in the light of Jesus' coming, right, it only happens whenever we choose to take our inner life seriously. Hey, this call to walk out what we see here in the text, man, it only takes place, man, whenever we choose to prioritize, man, our walk with God and us spending time with Him. We've got to choose to value that. Are you walking with Him? Take your communion with God seriously. What does that look like? Just real quick here. What does it look like? Man, your communion with God. Firstly, it looks like this. Learn to pray consistently. Or learn to praise, rather. Learn to praise consistently. Learn to praise consistently. Look what it says there. Rejoice always. Man, walk in joy always. I think the struggle with some of us, hey, when it comes to our walk with God, and the reason why we find ourselves more pessimistic than optimistic, is because, hey, we throw out, right, the habit of praise whenever it comes to our personal time with God. Our praise and worship only consists of a Sunday morning for a couple of minutes. What God calls us to do, man, hey, is to choose to praise continually. Choose to praise Him, man, with all that we've got. Psalms 34, verse 1 says it like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Man, a key component, man, in our walk with God, our communion with Him, man, is to choose to praise, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, too. Hey, not just praise Him whenever that check hits the bank account, but choose to praise Him, man, when the kids are acting a fool in the house. Hey, not just praise Him, man, whenever all things are hunky-dory in your life, but, hey, to praise Him in the struggle, too. And the good news today is that we can. man, because of who he is. I love this quote that I saw today talking about rejoicing. Joy is not something that we work on. Joy is something that we live in. The reality is, for a child of God, because of who we are in Christ, right? Hey, joy, man, is something that can be constant in our lives. Because of who, yeah, exactly, Brother Dwayne, the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can walk in that, and that enables us to choose to praise. When's the last time that you praised him? Outside of a Sunday, man. Learn to praise him consistently. Secondly, Paul says it right there. Hey, not just praise him consistently, learn to pray continually. Learn to pray continually. We see this word here. It says, hey, pray without ceasing. You know, and you think, man, what's Paul saying there? Is he saying, hey, we've got to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? That's what, you know, pray without ceasing. You know, pray without stopping. You know, that's what that means. How are we to do that? Well, of course, Paul isn't talking about that. Well, the emphasis here is that, man, he's trying to get us to see and understand the seriousness of prayer. And to see, right, the fact that God moves when we pray. To see that, hey, if we want to see breakthrough in our life, if we want to see God do what only he can do based on what we see, man, in the scriptures, we've got to choose to take prayer seriously and choose to continue to pray. I love what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says about prayer. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer. Hey, what is prayer to you, church? I know for me, I think the reason why I struggle with prayer a lot of times is because I've got a misconception of what it is. You know, I know it's talking to God. I get it, you know, but God, a lot of times when I'm talking to him, seems fairly distant, far away from him. I feel like I'm going to him with a laundry list that he doesn't want to hear. I'm bothering him, wasting his time. But that's not what prayer is. The Bible tells us, man, that the God who made us, the God of the universe, he wants to hear from you. He cares enough to want to listen to you. And the fact that we get a chance to commune with him by way of prayer, the one that created everything, right? That ought to drive us to choose, man, to pray continually. We ought to be folks that understand that, hey, nothing happens without prayer. Our growth in the Christian life does not happen without prayer. Us getting over that struggle or addiction does not happen without us, man, being consistent in prayer. Man, so choose to pray continually. Then thirdly and lastly, right, how do we take our communion with God seriously? Hey, we learn to be content in him. Look what it says. There, in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I always read that as, hey, give thanks, man, for God, right? Give thanks for him and what he's given to us. But that's not what the text is saying there. Man, what it's saying is, I love what one commentary says, right? This imperative speaks more about our perspective toward life than it does about our attitude towards our circumstance. And so what Paul is calling for us to do here is say, hey, learn, man, how to understand that because of God's providence and God's control, learn how to give thanks to him no matter what takes place. Learn, as Romans 8:28 says, hey, no matter what happens, learn to give thanks to him, man, because what he's doing or what he hasn't done, what he's given or what he hasn't given, man, it is ultimately for our good. He's going to work it out for our good. Man, even, man, the brokenness and the trials of life, i.e. learn to be content in him. Contentment, man, hey, it's a struggle. Brother Ed, hey, just Friday, Black Friday. I wasn't going to go to no stores. I was back home in Dallas. I wasn't going to go to no stores. They had to fight through traffic. But man, that Amazon app kept sending me notifications left and right about getting stuff I didn't need. You know, oh, a sale, man, for a blender, 70% off. I already got two at the house. What do I need another one for? Oh, a sale for some rock climbing shoes. Man, I rock climbed one time in my life. What do I need them for? But hey, the fact that there was a sale on them, hey. Wanting, you know, and desiring more and more, man, hey. That's just our human nature, man. But what God calls for us to do, man, how we take our walk with Him seriously, our communion with Him seriously, is learning to be content in Him. Learning to say, right, I've said it before, I'll say it again, man, whatever my lot, man, learning to say that it is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. Man, learn to be content with Him. Hey, we've got to take our communion with God seriously. He gives us that charge there. Right, but thirdly and lastly, right, the last instruction that He gives us, it's not just, hey, take the community of God seriously, not just take our communion with God seriously, but hey, learn to take the calling of God seriously. Paul here shifts from giving positive exhortations to negative, right? Starting in verse 19 there, he says, hey, don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Man, take the calling of God seriously, man. His commands, His charge here, right? He was telling the Thessalonian church, hey, if you want to continue to see your church grow, if you want to continue to see personal growth, hey, choose not to do these things. Man, take the calling of God seriously. What was He calling them to? He was telling them, number one, and He's telling us to be sensitive to the Spirit. That's what it means. Don't quench the Spirit. Man, to quench the Spirit is, hey, to choose to ignore the Spirit. Hey, choose to do anything that gets in the way of, man, God's work in and around us. Ultimately, it's learning how to be sensitive to the Spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit, man, hey, could be taboo in some churches. Could be taboo in a lot of places, but can I go ahead and tell you? If you're saved, man, the whole Spirit of God lives in you. And hey, Jesus, the Lord, He communicates to us through His Spirit. Now, hey, Spirit's got to match His Word. Paul talks about it there. Hey, test everything. But He speaks to us, communicates to us through the Spirit. Hey, so that thought that you have in your head or in your heart, hey, about going and ministering to that person. Hey, don't ignore it. Follow. Yeah. Hey, when the Spirit of God, man, encourages, hey, step into that ministry opportunity within the life of the church. Hey, give to that person that's in need. Share the gospel with your child. Ask that question. Man, be sensitive to Him. Don't ignore Him. Man, choose to be sensitive. Hey, whenever we surrendered our heart and life to Christ, remember, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6, I believe, tells us that. And so, man, hey, where the Spirit leads, man, you got to be sensitive to Him and choose to follow. And then taking the call of God seriously is learning how to be steadfast in doing what is good. That's what he says there. Hey, don't despise prophecies. Forgot to mention that, right? A prophecy, it basically, hey, a word, right, that's given to somebody from the Word, man, at a certain time, specific time. Hey, don't despise it. Somebody comes and says, hey, man, you know, just wanted to give you, man, a truth from God's Word. I want to encourage you today. Hey, don't despise it. Again, test that. There might be some folks that say, man, I believe God's telling you, man. Hey, God's telling you, you need to buy a Lamborghini for Pastor Irv, man. That's probably not the Lord. You want to test it. Where in Scripture does it say that? That's how you test the spirits. Be sensitive to the Spirit, but after that it says be steadfast in doing good. Says, hold fast to what is good. Paul ends here
man, by saying, hey, look, fellas, look, ladies, Jesus is coming back. We're going to be with him forever. But until that time comes, hey, continue to live a life that pleases God. Don't use the excuse of you being saved as an excuse to live however you want to. Hey, don't use the excuse that, man, you're going to get caught up and you're going to fly away one day as an excuse to live however you want to. Don't use the excuse of, hey, I'm just going to blend in with the culture. I'm just trying to, hey, to connect with the culture as an excuse, man, to do whatever you want to. Paul says, hey, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what glorifies God, man, and stay away from every form of evil. We're not just saved, man, to just coast in. We're not saved just to coast into eternity. Man, we need to continue to be steadfast in doing good. Hey, continue to live life as bright lights in a dark and perverse world. Final instructions. Final instructions. Brother Ben, one day, man, hey, we gonna fly away, man. I can't wait. We're gonna blast off. I wanted to entitle this sermon, hey, you know, preparing for takeoff. I was like, man, I don't know, that's kind of corny. So what with just final instructions? One day, we're going to leave this earth. We're going to be caught up in the air, man, and meet Jesus in the clouds. And we're going to be with him forever. Man, but until that time comes, man, hey, we're still called, man, to live a life that's pleasing to him. We're still called, man, to follow and these final instructions that he gives us. You may say, Pastor Irv, man, hey, Jesus is coming back, man, pretty soon. My answer is, yeah, sooner than yesterday. Soon. So the call for us, man, is to live a life that's pleasing to him in light of his coming. Because he's coming, man, we ought to be motivated to live a life that is pleasing to him.